If He Loves You So, written by Susie Carter, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary. Garrick was watching him, eyes sharp, half of a dulcet smile still lingering around his mouth. "I've never had lunch in Hong Kong before. It occurred to me that perhaps I'd better inquire as to whether I should expect to be shot at some more." Julian swallowed and looked away. "Aren't Cardassians always expecting to be shot at?" he said. But he knew already it wouldn't save him. He could feel his face going hot. Notes. For Shopfront. Unsurprisingly, Shopfront, I couldn't resist your prompt for Julian's flashes of temper in 410, having an alternate explanation. Heart. This is set immediately post 410, Armand Bashir, which actually places it before Zial's arrival on DS9 in 414, but I like to think it casts her addition to the lunch dates in a new light. Title from Betty Everett, In His Kiss, because I couldn't help myself. "A moment, Doctor," Garrick said. Julian paused. He'd only made it about two steps along the corridor outside the sitting room belonging to Hippocrates Noah. The exit for the holosuite had already shimmered into place in front of him. He experienced, for a moment, the desperate urge to pretend he hadn't heard Garrick, to sprint the rest of the way and make his escape. It was all settled now. Lunch tomorrow. Hong Kong. Garrick had enjoyed the program after all, and seemed not to mind having nearly been shot in the throat. So it was... everything was fine. There was nothing more to talk about. "If you please," Garrick added. Julian bit down on a sigh and turned around. They were both still in their tuxedos. If asked, Garrick would no doubt have had a great deal to say about the cut, the fit, the style. How outrageously unsubtle and unimaginative it was to player black and white so directly. But Julian was a doctor, not a tailor, and all he could see was Garrick, in striking, clean lines of the kind of evening wear Julian was used to. Human. The kind it was far too easy to imagine Garrick might have put on just for... God! "Certainly. What is it?" Julian said aloud, as evenly as he could. Garrick was watching him, eyes sharp, half a dulcet smile, still lingering around his mouth. "I've never had lunch in Hong Kong before. It occurred to me that perhaps I'd better inquire as to whether I should expect to be shot at some more." Julian swallowed and looked away. "Aren't Cardassians always expecting to be shot at?" he said. But he knew already that it wouldn't save him. He could feel his face going hot. "Why, of course," Garrick said warmly. "But usually we're also aware in advance who's likeliest to be doing the shooting. I must admit you rather took me by surprise today, my dear doctor." Julian winced. "Yes, I suppose I'd better apologize for that." The trouble was... he thought grimly. He didn't particularly want to. He'd said it, and he meant it. He was aware that he ought to be sorry. But that didn't mean he was. It shouldn't have felt so satisfying. Not only pulling the trigger in and of itself, but the way Garrick had looked at him after, the awareness that he had taken Garrick by surprise, that he could still catch Garrick's attention after all. It shouldn't have, but it had. "Oh, not on my account," Garrick said. Julian blinked and looked up. Garrick's expression was bland, amused. Not that that necessarily meant anything with Garrick. Indeed, there was a certain intensity in his gaze now that belied the mildness of his face and stance. "To Cardassians," Garrick murmured. The willingness to seize a moment of advantage is quite compelling. He tilted his head the barest degree. But in my experience, you aren't usually quite so direct in expressing your frustrations. You typically prefer to register your objections to my outbursts of mercenary cynicism with more restraint. He paused for a deliberate beat, and then leaned in a little and added, "To shoot, kill, and miss. Daringly provocative of you, Doctor." Julian bit down on a laugh that would have come out much too sharp anyway. Daringly provocative. Fantastic. He should have known. Of course, letting his simmering irritation get the best of him had managed to do what 1,000 invitations to lunch, given or accepted, hadn't. He shook his head and rubbed absently at his mouth. There wasn't any reason not to say it. Was there? Now, when it hardly mattered, when all he'd be confessing to was having misunderstood, having fooled himself thoroughly. Garrick would probably be amused, at least. Garrick would probably be amused, would raise a brow ridge and say something about how fascinatingly peculiar Terran's practices were, how little sense they made compared to their Cardassian equivalents. And Julian would manage to smile at him, somehow or other, would agree, and they would part. Lunch tomorrow. Hong Kong. It would be fine. There wasn't any reason not to say it. And Julian was, abruptly, tired of failing to. "Yes," he said at last, quietly. "Years of lunches, of Cardassian novels, of your secrets and your lies, of working out how to understand you one step at a time. I thought we might finally..." He stopped, helpless, and wished dimly for the hot anger that had boiled over him in that tunnel. The way everything had felt clear and sharp, the way his voice had sounded grim and certain. That had been much easier than this, than standing here in the quiet, the world already ended, with Garrick watching him like this. "You told me I was spending all my free time in here, that was what had made you so curious about what I was doing. And the truth is that I suppose I was hoping it would. I was hoping it would frustrate you, and I was hoping it would hurt." There went the brow ridge. "Is that so?" Garrick said, almost soft. "Yes," Julian said. "You, running off to Tane, to that Cardassian fleet, without even explaining yourself. I had no idea what the hell might have been happening to you, and you wouldn't tell me anything even after you got back. And getting yourself beaten up by Klingons, pretending it was nothing when I was the one right there patching you up. Even before that, you were... you'd counseled on me 2 times out of 3. You were..." He ground to a halt, and to his own frustration, his eyes had begun to sting. "You weren't talking to me anymore," he heard himself say. And it sounded precisely as foolish and childish and plaintive aloud as it had in his head. But there was nothing to be done about it now. "I suppose I let my imagination get the better of me. I suppose I should have tried harder to keep a level head." Garrick had the barest furrow between his brow ridges now. "That might have been wise, yes," he said, inflectionless, noncommittal. "But I thought we were getting somewhere," Julian said, and for all that it had felt so impossible to work up to, the words themselves came out steadily enough. "You and me, I thought..." "Well..." He stopped, shook his head again. "It was stupid, obviously. It doesn't matter. The point is, I was angry with you today. But it wasn't only about today. I'd been frustrated for a while. With myself," he admitted slowly. as much as with you, for fooling myself into thinking. Into thinking what? Garrick prodded. Julian bit at his mouth. It doesn't matter, he said again much more firmly. I've got my head on straight now, I promise you. Lunch tomorrow. Hong Kong. It'll be fine. It sounded true. It would be true if Julian just gave himself a little time. He'd get past this reckless, selfish disappointment. They'd be friends. They were friends, or at least he was pretty sure they were. That was enough. He was about to say it again, to do something else, clap Garrick on the shoulder, perhaps, in an amiable sort of way, and then they'd leave the hollow suite and Julian could go mope somewhere at quiet for a little bit. Except when he made himself look at Garrick, Garrick was staring at him. I begin to suspect, Doctor, he said slowly, that I've committed an oversight of staggering proportions. Julian blinked. Rather foolish of me, Garrick added. I'm quite mortified. I should have known better, in point of fact. I do know better. But you are always so accommodating, and there are some assumptions so fundamental, we can never entirely set them aside, no matter how self-aware we believe ourselves to be. Garrick, it isn't simply cultural convention, Garrick said, an interruption so brisk it was impossible to preempt. Among Cardassians, it's merely basic common sense to be relatively open in expressing all but the most severe hostility, and to carefully conceal its opposite, particularly in cases where there is any danger of genuine intensity. Julian swallowed. Surely he couldn't mean that the way that it sounded. Surely there was some other reason he was explaining this to Julian right now. Overt gestures of interest, Garrick went on, are only practical under limited circumstances. Overt gestures of interest, Julian repeated, mouth dry. Indeed, Garrick said. For example, insistence on a direct introduction. It's Dr. Bashir, isn't it? Of course it is. May I introduce myself? Or an invitation to do something suggestive, say, drinks in private? I think it's a little noisy in here. I prefer to drink somewhere quiet. An excellent idea. We'll go to my quarters, wherever you like. Even some sort of standing arrangement pursued publicly by both parties. Garrick glanced away, deliberate, and then back at Julian, and his tone was offhanded, but his eyes felt very heavy indeed. Lunch, Julian said unsteadily. Yes, I suppose that would qualify, Garrick observed, very mild. An entirely reasonable place for Cardassians to begin in pursuit of physical pleasures. Physical, good God. Oh, certainly, Garrick said. Though, of course, it would be quite natural for such gestures to serve as the opening maneuvers of a much more extensive campaign. Would it? Julian heard himself say. Indeed, Garrick agreed, and took a half step closer. And then he paused as if checked, and clasped his hands behind his back. And the former might come to transition into the latter over time, too, which might necessitate an alteration in strategy. Julian reached up and tugged absently at the collar of his shirt with one finger. It was awfully hot in here. All right, he made himself say carefully. I think I understand you so far. You can be so perspicacious when you choose to be, my dear, Garrick murmured. And the next step in such a campaign, naturally, would be to withdraw. Julian frowned, unable to prevent it. To withdraw? Why, of course! It would be the cleverest possible, clearest possible indication of a deepening level of investment. To deliberately alter circumstances so as to prevent that investment from appearing exceptional in any way to the casual observer, to suggest that it has become so marked, has achieved sufficient intensity to constitute a vulnerability worth being concealed. My dear doctor, it practically amounts to a signed confession. Julian let his eyes fall shut and drew a slow breath, and tried to ignore the kick of his heart in his chest. Humans do these things differently, of course, Garrick says after a moment. But I do know that. But, Julian said very low. But, Garrick elaborated, you responded with such delightfully pointed reciprocity, diminishing in your turn your commitment to the frequency and apparent intimacy of our standing arrangement to eat together, choosing to spend your time in a much less public location, a location where you might be joined unobserved. Even your irritation at finding yourself interrupted, adroitly handled. If only we hadn't then been interrupted by that unfortunate transporter malfunction. He paused. I hadn't expected you to escalate as far as trying to kill me. That was quite invigorating. But I thought perhaps it would be best to confirm you hadn't acted in haste. Julian couldn't help it. He scrubbed a hand across his face, and then he laughed. So you're telling me I just stole Cardassian third base, he said. And you started this conversation because you wanted to make sure I didn't regret moving too fast. Garrick gave him a narrowed-eyed look. If I follow your charmingly opaque turns of phrase correctly, he said, then, essentially, yes. He hadn't moved since that half-step toward Julian. He took another now, and unclasped his hands from behind him to reach out and set his fingertips to Julian's elbow. As I said, an oversight of staggering proportions. The error was all mine, my dear, and I hope perhaps in time you will forgive me. Julian felt his mouth slant, unbidden. Perhaps the only thing more satisfying than having recaptured Garrick's attention was the revelation that he'd never lost it. And Garrick's eyes on him, Garrick's hand on his arm, it provoked as relentless attention as it ever had, tingling along the surface of Julian's skin, attention he'd thought he'd been alone in feeling. But it seemed perhaps he hadn't. Well, now I'm very glad I tried to shoot you, he said aloud. As am I assure you, Garrick murmured. And I promise I'd be more than happy to bring you back here and shoot at you some more whenever you like, Julian added, and then leaned in and kissed him. They'd wasted far too many opportunities already to let this one slip away. And Garrick seemed to agree. As gratifying as it had been to be looked at by him, touched by him, it was better still to feel the breath catch in his throat, the startled parting of his mouth, to hear the soft, pleased sound he made a moment before Julian eased away. I shall hold you to that, my dear, Garrick said warmly, and when they left the holosuite together, he still hadn't taken his hand off Julian's arm. The end.